Good morning, church. I'm very happy this morning that we can once again worship together as one body of Christ, as a community and a family. During this pandemic time with restrictions, I miss everybody. I miss all the events at the church. But one program or one event that I opportunity of to say that I missed the most is Sunday worship, being able to join together, worship together, different age groups as one family. That is the meeting I missed the most during this past year. But I think that time has come, and hopefully in the next few months that we could partially come back to worship together at church here. And we're already starting to prepare for that. So let's continue to pray and be patient. I work as an engineer all my life. I have done, I work in the consulting business. So I have done a lot of engineering projects. Some big ones, small ones, you know, small ones, a few millions of dollars, and big ones over $1 billion. I have purchased equipment that's over $1 million a piece. And so to build a plant, it requires a lot of planning, equipment, thousands of equipment, you know, expensive, less expensive one, technology, involve a lot of different things to put a engineering project together successfully. But one of the most important element, I would say, for a project to be successful is still boiled down to people. So I still remember one time my boss came to me and said, Norman, our client, you know, is not really happy with this project team. I said, what do you mean? No, this is one of the best team we have. And the client said, there's not enough white hair in there. Can you go and help? So I said, okay. I'll find you people with more white hair. That means more experience. So in doing engineering project, people is more important than equipment. You need the right people to design a project, to execute a project so that it can be a successful project. Building a church is the same. We have, not too bad facilities. We have a nice building, air conditioning, very good sound equipment. People from other churches come and comment that that our sound equipment is very good, above FH at least. We have a good location. We have many good programs. And we have a very experience in running a church. But the most important thing still boils down to the people, brothers and sisters, who are building up this church. But unfortunately, very often, most of the problem the church has is not finance, not even the doctrines. Most of the time, church has the problem is with people. It's people problem. The church of Corinth that we look at this morning, chapter 3, 1 Corinthians, talking about the problem in at the church of Corinth. And the church of Corinth is a problem church. We can read church, 1 Corinthians. It's a church with problems. But chapter 1 to 3 is about the church of division, the lack of unity. It's not lack of money, or even lack of people that are willing to serve. There are a lot of people willing to serve, right? But it's division. We have a lot of people who are willing to serve in our church. I thank the Lord for that. We have a lot of very dedicated brothers and sisters helping to build this church. So it is a good reflection, reminder for us. The Church of Corinth, the problem is division. Division because they are grouping, dividing. Some said they want to follow this leader, Paul, and some said I want to follow this leader, Apollo. But the problem is not with Apollo or Paul, but with the people. And people start after years of serving. Slowly, they put the focus on the wrong person, in the wrong place. The focus become on people, on leaders. Now, we may not have that problem, hopefully. I don't think you'll be following Pastor Norman or Pastor Sam or Pastor Jane. No, we don't have the problem, I hope. But what we can learn from the Church of Corinth is that if our focus in ministry, in serving, is diverted from the person we should be focusing on, then the church will have problem. The Church of Corinth, they have problem. It's not because they are not serving, right? They have problem because they putting their eyes on people, leaders. And it's become a church that's full of jealousy, argument, quarreling. So people is important. As I at the beginning of my sermon, I said that people are important in building up this church. But they are important, but yet not most important. Paul said, what then is Apollo? Now, he didn't say, who is Apollo? But what? No, what? What are you? Right? Not who are you? What? What then is Apollo? And what is Paul? Right? We are only servants through whom you believe, even as the Lord gave opportunity to each other. We are only a tool. We are only a tool. We are not the main dish. Right? So who is Paul? Right? Even Paul is today, you know, we know that Paul is a very important figure in the New Testament time. He wrote most of the New Testament. But who is other leaders? No, they are just servants. Servants. This word servants, actually, diakonos, is the word where we translated today, deacons. Right? So we're only deacons. The deacons actually have another translation meaning could be waiter, people serving at the table, right? That's what deacons, the word Greek has this meaning, people serving at the table, deacons. So they're just, I won't say that, waiters. So don't call your deacons a church waiters, right? But they are sort of like servants, like a waiter. So just imagine one day, you know, after the service, you know, we all go to a restaurant to eat, our favorite restaurant. So when we go into the restaurant, and then half the people say that, oh, I like to be served by a waiter, Paul, right? He's such a good waiter. So I want to be served by him. We're always being served by him. But then the other half said that, no, I want to be served by Apollo, right? Or Peter, right? I like waiter Peter. But then, and then the restaurant will tell you that, oh, today, you know, waiter Paul will be serving in the east section, and then waiter Peter will serve in the other section. So we say, okay, fine. No, I want to sit belong, you know, in a section that's to be served by our favorite waiter. So the two groups split, and then they start arguing and start fighting. So the chef from the kitchen came out and said, "What's going on here? What's going on here? You guys are fighting over the waiters, you know, who should serve you. But don't forget, you come here to eat, and I am the chef. I am the one who preparing the food. Don't forget what you come here for." Apollo, Paul, Peter, Pastor Norman, Pastor Sam, we are just servants. We are just servants of God. And some planted, some watered, but it is God, the one who caused the growth. They all understand once they talk about farming, because most of the people in those days. Probably their work is farming. So once Paul mentioned farming, they understand. Some will plant the seeds, some will irrigate water, but the most important, they know that as a farmer, they have to look up to the sky. The harvest, they have to pray to God for the rain, the sunshine. They can do all they want, they can plan all they want, but eventually it's God, the one who was causing the growth, just like in farming. You can do, the farmers can work as hard as they want, but they have to look up to the sky. The rain and the sunshine. So ultimately, it is God, the one who caused the growth in the church. Right? So then neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God who causes the growth. But unfortunately, over time, our focus becomes on the ministry. Our focus becomes on the leader, like the Church of Corinth. And slowly, we put our focus on Christ Jesus. We bring people to church, but slowly we forgot that the reason we bring people to church. Pastor Norman always said that it's important that we should have a strong personal relationship with God, but our personal Christian life cannot grow to full maturity in isolation. We need to grow ourselves in the church community. That's why the church is more important than the individual. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. So let no one boast in man. Gordon Fee said, Christian ethics is not primary and individualistic, one-on-one with God, brand of personal holiness. That is important. Right? So I've been talking about the importance of a personal relationship with God. That is absolutely important. But whether it has to do with living the life of the Spirit in Christian community and in the world. But our personal Christian life cannot grow to full maturity if we are isolated from the congregation, from the group. Or even if we form a small group, like in the Church of Corinth, you know, they like to form a small group. Even when we try to form a small group, our spiritual life cannot be grow to its full potential maturity until we support and be connected to the overall community. So the church is more important. It's most important. When we serve our ministry here, it's most important that we do not lose focus, that everything that we do here is for the good of the overall church, the body of Christ. I have the opportunity to serve in a smaller church some 20 years back. I served there as a volunteer pastor for 3 years. It's predominantly an English-speaking Chinese church. They're mostly English-speaking, local-born. So when I arrived there, the first thing I did, I realized they don't have a youth fellowship, a ministry. They have youth, but they don't have a youth fellowship. So Cynthia and I spent the next 3 years and started a youth ministry. And it grew to a fair size when we left. So when we decided that it's time for us to come back, I never intended to be there for too long. So 3 years is, I think, was more beyond our initial plan. So I told the church that we want to go back to VCAC, really our home church. And the church was concerned. I said, because you came here, you built up this youth ministry, the young people, they're all attached to you and Cynthia. We worry that they won't be happy. And we worry that some may leave. I said, don't worry, I make sure that nobody leave. So my last day there, they have a farewell party for me, give me a gift, lots of gift. And then in my last sermon, I said that, you know, I came here to this church, it's not build up my ministry, it's to build up this church. You all belong to this church, not me. So when we leave, I know that you love us. I know that you attached to us. But when we leave, go back to my home church, I don't want anybody to even think about leaving. Fortunately, not one person left. They all stay there. They all grow. Some become leaders. One became a pastor. So we are very happy. So we are here to build up the church, not our own group ministry. And we build this up on a foundation, according to the grace of God, which was given to me, like a wise master builder, architecton, if I pronounce this, actually Greek, which we translate today the term architect, wise master builder, to lay a foundation, and another is building on it. But each man must be careful how he builds on it. So Paul laid the foundation. What is this foundation? The foundation, of course, we all know, is Jesus Christ. The foundation is most important, because without this foundation, the building cannot be built. This is the, I'm sure most of you are familiar with, you may not have been there, but you are familiar. This is the Taiwan 101 Tower. Last time we visited Taiwan some years ago, we went and visited this building. It's a spectacular building. When it was built, at that time, it was the tallest building in the world. That was in 2004. And this building, how can they build this building so tall? 101 floor. It has a very strong foundation. They remove 700,000 tons of earth. They dig that much to prepare for the foundation. There are 382 piers. Each one is 5 feet in diameter. And each pier is 80 meters deep. And it took them 2 years just to build the foundation. 2 years to build the foundation. So the foundation is so strong that they can, on top of it, to erect this high-rise skyscraper building that can stand the earthquake. You know that there's earthquake in Taiwan, and the typhoons, the wind storms. So it's the strong foundation. Our foundation is on Jesus Christ, not on people. One day, I will retire from this church, like every other pastors, leaders. But this church will go on. Hopefully, when I retire, when I leave this church, the church will be more prepared to continue to grow even stronger without me. That is my plan. I plan that when I leave, the church will become even stronger after I left, not weaker. Then I am not a good leader. To build on this is Jesus Christ. Not just the doctrines. Our church have a very strong emphasis on biblical doctrines. You know, Pastor Jay is very focused on teaching the Bible. He's a very heavy Bible teacher. We all know that. Our Sunday school is very strong. We really focus on Sunday school in MECAC. Same for all three congregations. That is one of the main area of ministry, Sunday schools. All the elders teach or attend Sunday schools. So here, the foundation of Jesus is not just about doctrines. I believe the Church of Corinth, the problem there is not about doctrine. It's about the focus, the center. CNMA, our core value, mission statement is Christ stand, Christ-centered. So our ministry has to be, Paul here is trying to say that our ministry has to be Christ-centered, not just a doctrine, but our focus. We build our ministry around Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the foundation. He is the one that we are bringing people to, not the leaders, not Paul or Peter. And if there's a good, strong foundation, then he can stand the earthquakes, the typhoons. And each person will build on top of this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, or straw. But we do not know what material each use. We cannot tell sometimes. It looks like it's wonderful. What the person, brother or sister is doing is wonderful, beautiful. What a wonderful ministry. Oh, he talks so eloquently. His sermon is so exciting. We don't know. His ministry is so successful. We don't know. But their work will be shown for what it is, because the time will bring it to light. That day will come, the Lord's timing, the Lord's day. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. So we do not know, so we don't judge other people's ministry. We do not know. Only the Lord knows, and the Lord will reveal it in that day. So don't criticize other people's ministry. I try not to, even though it may not look right, unless it's not biblical. Otherwise, we should not criticize other people's ministry. We do not know. But the Lord will know. The day will come. The day of the fire will come. And it will, the wood, the hay, the straw will be burned, incinerated, disappear. Only the gold, the silver, and the costly stone will stay. This is really a great warning to me. When I read this, I read this before, but when I was preparing a sermon. So one day when I stand in front before the Lord, and I was proudly walk in front of the Lord and say that I served you so many years, 40 years, and I gave up a lot, and I gave a lot of my time. When I served 20 years as a volunteer pastor, so when I go home from work as an engineer, and the people rest, and then I start doing my church work. I don't have a day of rest. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday is when I try to do all my church work, plus the evenings during the weekday. I don't have a day of rest. I tried to run a church while I was working full-time as an engineer. I given up a lot. All my time. I give up a lot of my career ambition. So if one day I come before the Lord, the Lord said that, okay, let me see, and then let me put it through this fire test, the last test of fire. Oh, sorry, Norman. Actually, there's only 5 years of your ministry that counts. What? So the other 35 got all burnt away. They are wood, hay, or straw. I will be devastated if that's what happened. I will be so disappointed. I will be sad. I will be saying, "Ah, what did I do if my ministry service is not according to the Lord's will, not based on Jesus, it will be the material of wood, hay, or straw." It's really a warning to me. What kind of work ministry is wood, hay, or straw? You are still worldly, fleshly. For since there is jealousies and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere human, doing things in people in a human way? Are you mere infants in Christ? At the beginning of this chapter, Paul opened by scolding, by warning. There are two groups of you Christians in the church of Corinth here. spiritual ones who follow God's way of doing ministry with Christ-centered, spirit-powered. But another group of you who are worldly, who work according to the flesh, doing ministry based on the worldly way of doing business. That will bring jealousy and quarreling. Did your ministry bring jealousy, quarreling, fight, division? Are you doing your ministry based on your flesh, your own self, your own natural talents? Or are you building this church with your spiritual life? We cannot tell. People cannot tell. And we should not try to judge leader. But the Lord knows. And that day will come. The fire will come. It will burn your work and what is left. So it is the material. You are the material. What kind of material are you? Then you will build that kind of a church or ministry. If you are a worldly Christian, you do ministry in a worldly way, then your ministry will be a worldly ministry. You look at performance. You look at, you like to show your ministry, to show the people, but yet it cannot stand the test of fire. A worldly worker, the ministry is based on himself, self-centered. So like the group up, we want to group up with the stronger, because we like Paul, right? Paul is the stronger leader than Peter or Apollos. So we like to group up together so that we are stronger. Jealousy is thinking that you are better than other people. You're trying to compare with other people. Other people are weaker. That group is weaker. No, Peter is weaker. No, who's Peter? But Paul is a theologian, right? So we gang up with Paul. So you want to think that you are a stronger group within the church community. So that's a worldly. That's how the world operates. The world like to put the stronger people together, right? So the world like to speak in strength, not in weakness. But that's not what Jesus wanted in our church. A very good quotation from Bonhoeffer, the exclusion from his book, I think it's Life Together. The exclusion of the weak and insignificant, the seemingly useless people from a Christian community may actually mean the exclusion of Christ. In the poor brother, Christ is knocking at the door. People at Corinth, they want to be in a position of strength. They want to divide up the church. They want to group up with what they think is the stronger group. But it's the opposite. That's not building a church based on Christ. Christ wants us to look at the ones who are weak. The strong one needs the weak. The weak one needs the strong. That's why the church community takes priority over the individual. And it's not always easy when we try to serve in a human way, the worldly way. Then we are acting like a worldly Christian. And then there's a warning, brothers and sisters. I don't preach much on warning because no one likes to hear warnings because it doesn't sound good. We like to hear about love, forgiveness, acceptance. But there's a warning. Paul warns that if anyone destroys God's temple, it's not about talking about killing people, right? God's temple. God will destroy that person. Wow, I do not want to interpret this. I don't know what Paul is referring to destroy here. But it is punishment. It's not good. For God's temple is sacred, and you together are the temple. So the temple here is not talking about the individual. Paul is talking about the church. If anybody who, through ministry, unfortunately, through working in the church, hurts the unity, the wholeness of the church, destroying God's church, not just on doctrine. Paul is not talking about doctrines here. Doctrine, of course, the doctrines will split the church. But Paul is talking about ministry here, by grouping. Chapter 1 to 3 is talking about the division caused by people grouping together, following, doing the church the worldly way, trying to divide up the church. That's destroy, hurts the church unity. And God will destroy that person. I do not want to interpret. I don't know what Paul is saying here, but it's very serious warning and punishment. Church unity, oneness is the foundation of our ministry. Christ is our foundation. We build on Christ. And Christ, in the New Testament, over and over, reminded us this oneness. Different parts of the body, but only one body. So are you serving Jesus? Are you serving the ministry with the foundation of Jesus or on your own ego? There's a story I'd like to tell. So one day, Jesus told his disciples that we're going to walk up the top of the mountain. So each one of you carry a stone for me, according to your ability. So all the followers, disciples, they all pick up a piece of rock, you know, that they can handle, and then they start walking and following Jesus. So Peter, being a smart disciple, Jesus didn't say how big, right? He just said the one that according to your ability. So he looked around and then picked up the smallest one that he could find, and then he put it in his pocket, and then he start walking along. So obviously he's way ahead before Jesus, because he's just carrying a small rock. So the rest of the disciples carrying this big stone, they all walk very slowly, go up the mountain. So when they arrive there at lunchtime, so Jesus said, okay, now it is lunchtime, so let's close our eyes. So Jesus gave grace to the food, and then when everybody opened their eyes, look, guess what happened? That stone became a bread. Wow, everybody was so happy, you know, because they have a bread about this size. Except Peter, of course. He has about a donut size lunch. So we look at that piece of the pebble, the rock, which turned into bread about this size. So he just ate that in no time. So he's really not happy and hungry. So when they finished lunch, so Jesus said, now we're going to go down to the river. So I want everybody to carry a stone for me, and a stone that according to your ability. And then you pick one up, and then you carry that for me, and you go down to the riverside. So all the disciples pick up a good size of stone, and follow Jesus. Now, Peter, being a smart disciple, he has learned his lessons. So, okay. So he looked around, and then he find this huge, gigantic stone, and then he tried very hard to carry it, but it's so heavy. So he ended up having to put it on his shoulder, right? This huge, gigantic rock. And obviously, he's at the end of the line. He can walk so slow. Right? So everybody get to the river, and then Peter was still struggling with this huge stone on his shoulder. So by the time he get to the river, he was totally exhausted and tired. And then Jesus said, okay, now it's dinner time. So I want everybody to throw your stone into the river. So everybody pick up and throw the stone into the river. And then Peter's rock is about this big, you know, so he cannot float it. So he had to push it into the river. So he said, what's going on here? So he pushed that into the river, and then he was totally exhausted. Of course, he's hungry as well. And then Jesus now said that, okay, so this evening we're all going to fast. There'll be no dinner. Let's all pray. And now, Peter is really, really upset. Okay, he didn't eat much. And then now he carried this gigantic rock, and then now we're going to fast, no food. So he was really, really upset. So Jesus came to Peter and said, why are you upset? The first stone or rock you carried for me, actually, yes, the first one you actually carried for me, and you got your reward. The second stone you carried for yourself, you also got the reward you deserved. So why are you upset? So brothers and sisters, are you carrying this stone rock for Jesus? Are you doing the ministry for Jesus or for yourself? We need to put the foundation of our ministry on Jesus, Christ-centered and Christ alone, not on ourselves. Then we don't have this problem of hurting the church unity. Then we don't have this division. If everybody is serving just for Christ, there will be harmony, unity in this body. You build what you are. What kind of material you are? If you are worldly Christian, an infant in Christ, then your ministry will be worldly, will be like a children. You build what you are. So what kind of material are you? Let's pray. Father, help us this morning to be reminded by the scripture that we build our ministry on you and you alone, not on our own agenda. And church is above all, because this is the church that you want us to build, not our own needs. And help all of us to first to build up ourselves to be a spiritual mature Christian, not an infant, a worldly Christian. It's only when we build up ourselves, then we can build up the church. Then we can build the church on you as the foundation, and not ourselves. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.